It's been a, you know, from Sunday to Wednesday, it's short. And when you're working full time during the day, it's even shorter. Amen. And when they stretch the day into the night, it's even shorter. And yesterday was a really long day. And I started at like 5 something and quit at 10. So it was and a lot of driving and all day meetings and stuff. And so it was, but I found that despite those things, the Lord still helps me. You know, whenever I'm supposed to be the one speaking, He always helps me. And sometimes He helps me in the middle of the night. More than one time, I'll wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning and the message just starts running through my head, you know, different things start. And I have been guilty of not, of trying to remember the things that come to me. And so last night when it happened again, I was out with the phone and writing notes and put it back up and do it again. And that went on for a while. But I mentioned this quote about the bride ministering to her king, the ancient one, the ancient of days. And I did not want us to miss what he said there because it thrilled my heart so much. And so I wanted to hit that again, but I wanted to bring some other things that Brother Branham said to maybe shine a little more light on it and magnify, you know, because that's what the word does, is magnify God to us. And so Brother Branham, in the questions and answers, he's answering the question that somebody had about Judas, and he starts getting into the Book of Life and talking about that. And in that Book of Life, he's talking about this Ancient of Days, and he calls the Ancient of Days the Eternal One, which is God. And that's where he picks up here. And he's talking about this when the judgment is set and the books are open, this Eternal One is here. And when he comes, the bride comes after him. They follow him. And so that's where we're picking up. They came, let's see, about halfway down there. Ancient of time, that is, it had no time, the Eternal One. He came. Now watch. The saints came to the earth. So the judgment is set, and the books are open, and they're coming to the earth for this to take place. Notice that. The saints come to the earth, and the books are opened. And another book was opened, and that was the Book of Life. One book. They came to the judgment. They came to the judgment. He came, and with him came 10,000 times 10,000. So they're coming back to the earth, this ancient one, and these tens of thousands times thousands that are following him. Is that right? Ministered to him. Amen. And if you minister to someone, you look that up, you've given them what they need. And when I read that, it just spun my head around. And I mentioned this the other day, but I don't want us to miss it. So if I'm saying the same thing again, that's all right. I used to have a guy at work, and he used to have this little saying. He said, "Oh, I understood you perfectly the fifth or sixth time you told me." So he had a lot of wisdom in that statement. So not that I might think I need to tell you something five or six times, but it's so easy for Satan to make us miss something. So, and I don't want us to miss, you know, some of the best parts, you know, of the message. So minister to him. The bride, the queen and king. And who is your little queen in the home? She ministers food to you. Is that right? She's giving him food. Somehow, this tens of thousands times thousands are giving this ancient of time food. But when she ministers to you, what's that? The bride ministers to Christ, the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. She ministers the word to the king. That spun my head around. How does the Word Himself need us to minister the Word to Him? You know? And he said, she's doing this ministering to Him by manifesting His promised Word in the age that she's living in. And we know that she can't do that on her own. So what she's done here, what you might not be able to see right away, is that she's given herself to Him. And in giving herself to Him, that is ministering to Him. She's given her, she needs to submit to Him for Him to do what He wants to do. He's made it so that that will happen, that He can have that channel to work through. And He'll explain that a little more here in a minute. Amen. She's manifesting His promised Word in the age that she's living in. And He says later on that she has the Word in her like Mary had the Word in her. So she's not doing the Word herself, is what I'm trying to say. Amen. God put the Word in Mary, and He brought that life through Mary. He did it. But she was willing. Yes, Lord, be it unto me. It is exactly like You said, Lord. And so that's her ministering to Him. And see, whenever in the Garden of Eden, when that took place, that fall took place, He lost that. He couldn't get her to submit to Him. Just a little. You know what I'm saying? After He went and killed the lamb, Adam couldn't even come out of the bushes. You remember me mentioning that on Sunday. Adam couldn't even come out of the bushes, Brother Bram said, until God had killed the lamb. So Adam couldn't even come up into His presence until he had that type of God making the provision for the lamb come into being and him act it out. And so God is trying to get that back. He has to get that liberty back in man, that fellowship, that channel back in man. That's what He wants back. So now notice, oh my, that was a good one. He said something there and they didn't get it. Oh my, that was a good one. See, ministering in the age, the Word. Notice, He came and tens, thousands times 10,000s come to Him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. And see that when they're coming to Him, this is the ministering. By coming to Him, this is how they're ministering, see. They're yielding to Him. This is a complete and utter, Brother Ram's going to say it here in just a minute. She's utterly committed to Him. And, you know, every time somebody hears something like that, they think about their life. And they think, how can we do this and how can we do that? You know, just like somebody who's addicted to drinking or smoking or something. They think, how can I stop this? And it's not about you stopping it. It's about you forgetting about everything of this life and everything that you think you can do. It's about getting rid of that and taking His Word and His Word only. Because only when you take His Word and His own Word only is when He can make that come to pass. You can't mix it with something. You can't take part of His Word and still think you can bring some of it to pass. Still think you have some piece or part in it. It's like Brother Bram said, He couldn't give Abraham the promise until Abraham separated. His daddy had to die. He had to drive Ham away from him, or Lot away from him. And then He could bring the promise. So just keep that in mind. So she don't come to judgment. She's free from judgment. Listen, let's go into identification. Brother Bram says, Abel brought a lamb and offered blood. And God testified that he was righteous. So here we got a man who comes. There's no Bible written. That's what Brother Rem says. How did he know it? How did he know to do this? There was no word written in them days. It was a revelation. And so is it today. Amen. So we don't live by figuring something out. We live by God himself putting that in our heart to do it. Just like we talked about the little woman at the well. And whenever he showed himself as that prophet, it struck that predestination. And so God is totally responsible for us. Is that, you hear what I'm saying? He, we're going to read it here in just a minute. Because, you know, nothing means more to a bride, I would think, than that she can have total confidence in her husband and know that he can take care of her. She can just relax and let him be and do for her, and that, and not have to worry, not have to worry that maybe he won't be here tomorrow, or maybe he'll run off and not be a husband or something. She's resting. You know, she can rest in that. And that's a very real problem for people in this time, day and time. I mean, the divorce rate at 60% and 70% and everything else. But now looky here. What it is the spiritual revelation of the Word of God, that everything else is wrong but the Word. You see that?
Amen.
That takes something special for that to take place. That takes the predestination to take that. Because there's nothing of this carnal man can take it. He's rotten to the core. The only way you're going to hear it, the only way it's going to come to pass, is if that predestination locks onto it. And that is what revelation is. Where did that predestination come from? Remember the first services we started? The Brother Branham said he had a secret in the back of his mind, and he's been unfolding it all this time. Everything else is wrong but the Word, and you believe it. That makes a channel when that happens. He was the Word. He is the Word. He will always be the Word. And when God can open that channel, when he can open that channel, that absolutely nothing in the world matters but his Word.
Amen.
Brother, watch out. Then he can flow freely through that sanctified body. Now, we notice it. That. So here, let's go to the Church Ages book. And everywhere you see a dot, dot, dot there, I cut in. So if you want to go back, I left the paragraph. You can go back and read the rest of it. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. And if you look up the word harmony, most of you music people know that it means to have two voices or many voices sounding, but they're all telling one narrative, it says. It even says in the dictionary, in the old part of the dictionary, that it's all four gospels. They give all four gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all given the same narrative, but they're all doing it in their way at the same time, and they all sound together for one narrative. So he's talking about, notice this harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. So is that the pattern?
Amen.
That he will always show you what he wants you to do? He'll never leave you wondering. He never left Jesus wondering. This harmony now exists between the groom and his bride. So he's telling us that is ours for today. We can have the same harmony that the Father and Son had. We've read that in other ways. He shows her his word of life, and she receives it, and she never doubts it. Brother and sister, those aren't walls for you to get over. Those are promises that he has put out here, and he is going to bring those to pass.
Amen.
We can't miss that. Don't miss that.
That's right.
Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. And what was that seed? A predestination. The water's going to, Brother Branham said, when that water of life hits that little predestinated life, up it comes. For if that seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The bride, the Word, is in the bride as it was in Mary. See how it's in her? As it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ. So she don't have to wonder what he wants.
Amen.
Anytime he wants something, he can put it in her heart. But not until you believe that. Until we come to that place, we're going to keep wallering all over the place and worrying about this and fussing about that until we come to this place. But this is the promised word for the hour. He said, this is what we will have in this hour. And you know, I want to look for that every day. Like Brother Bram said, look for the rapture every day. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. Isn't that exactly what he just said about the Son? And exactly what he said about Jesus? It's exactly the same thing. She performs the command of his word in his name. And she has thus saith the Lord. And brother, sister, that's a pretty powerful statement. Because if you'll go back through the message, you'll find where Brother Branham placed thus saith the Lord with the prophet over and over and over. So something special must be going on here if she has it. Performs the command of his word in his name, for she has thus saith the Lord. And when the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass, like a seed that's planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Yeah. All right, so let's look in Genesis, the first chapter. Now, Brother Bram's going to take and compare God moving across the earth that was without form and void, and how God brought order to the chaos. He's going to compare that to what he does in his people. In Genesis, the first chapter, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And we realize that the water, and the Bible said in the beginning back there, that this world was without form and was void. And there was nothing but just a darkness of chaos. And what a horrible shape it must have been in. Nothing but way into darkness yonder, without light or anything. And churning of the water, and the wandering star twisted around and around the orbits out there somewhere. And it must have been a terrific mass of something lost, like it was. Couldn't find its way. And that's what we become when we become wandering stars away from God. So that's what happened in the fall. Adam and Eve, they become part of what he just described spiritually. Away from God, just without hope, without God, without hope, without just turning around out there in darkness, not knowing when where we're going. And God took that great chaos of darkness and transformed it into an Eden by his word. Now he's going back to the earth now, after he talked about us a little bit. That's how we're transformed by God's word. Then when he said, let there be light, and that mass of creation out there came over and around the sun, and began to revolve around the sun, and became a Garden of Eden because it obeyed the word of God. It done the perfect will of God. Took a long time to transform that chaos. But when he spoke to it, and it done what it was supposed to, then it came the Garden of Eden. For it was transformed from chaos into a Garden of Eden by the word of God. And that's what we are here for. We're here for that transformation. That's my message. Has been all along is the word of God. We must hold to that regardless of what other things take place. So he just gave us that example of it taking place over all this time, bringing this earth out of chaos, out of darkness, into the Garden of Eden. Now he's telling us what we must do. We must hold to that regardless of what other things take place. Always stay with that word. Always check out your motives and your objectives. So how did he jump from the word to your motives and objectives? Think about that. Always check out your motives and objectives if it is according to the word of God. If it isn't, leave it alone. Yes. She has thus saith the Lord. She should be able to do that, right? I would think so. Amen. If it isn't, leave it alone, see? But if it's with the word of God, lines up with the word of God, then that, you hold to that. Now, he's not talking about if it lines up with your intellectual understanding of it. He's talking about, you'll see a little closer here in a minute. Now, God sometimes, and the reason I not only because I didn't want us to miss anything from Sunday, but I had a brother ask me a question the other day about, can the bride cast out a devil anytime they want to? And so I just told him what Brother Branham said about the times he manifested the third pull there, where he spoke those fish in, and where he spoke the squirrels into existence, and where he give those two boys their eternal life, and what was the other one? Oh, where his wife had that big growth on her. And every time, Brother Branham said, he had to be told. Every time. I mean, he prayed for that lump on her stomach for, it was a long time. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he didn't jump around or nothing else. He just kept praying about it and waiting. He knew God's a healer. He just kept praying and waiting. Because who is the interpreter of his word? God is his own interpreter. And how is the word in the bride? It's in her like it was in Mary. So we had to remember those things. Or we'll end up, like Brother Branham said in that message, trying to do God a service without it being his will. Nevertheless, see, well, I skipped down here. If it isn't, leave it alone. But if it's with the word and it lines up with the word of God, then you hold to it. Now, God sometimes, just like your little group here this morning, he lets it happen, just not happen just overnight. God don't put a time limit on it. All he asks is for you to abide in his word and let him do the transformation. We're the one that gets in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. God knows exactly when it's going to take place. He just says it, and it's going to be. For when he says anything, it's got to be. It's just going to be. He lets it take its time. The Hebrew children, them famous characters of the scripture that was standing on God's word to be true, they said, "Oh God, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. Nevertheless, see, we won't bow to the image." See, they're going to stay right with the word. They don't care what happens. The word means it more. It's the reality, not the fiery furnace, not the king, not anybody with the sword or spear at their back. None of that means anything but God's word. That's all it means. Nevertheless, we won't bow to the image because it's against the word, see. Although, if he slays us, he'll raise us up again, you see. Look at that confidence. And brother and sister, you don't think that moves God? That you just stay right by his word no matter what happens? You find out that is what moves God. Amen. If you will read the other, go look up the Hebrew children, look at the other examples he gave. He don't give it in here. But he talks about the angels watching this. As they're marching them into the fiery furnace, he said Gabriel goes up before God and says, "Have you saw that? Have you seen what's going on down there?" And he's like, "Yeah, I saw it." He said, "Well, let me go do so-and-so." He said, "No, it's all right." And so he keeps watching. Another angel comes. Michael comes up. Yeah. You know, and he goes through it. And it's really good. If you're going to go read it, you'll enjoy it. I mean, he tells it several times. But then finally he said, "Yeah, I saw it." And he said, "I'm not sending any of y'all. I'm going myself." Amen. And praise brother, God. That's there because it means something.
Amen.
It means, it's a message to us. Why would Brother Branham bring that? Little simple story. It means something to God's people. You stay by his word. Nothing else matters. I preached a message one time that there's only one reality, and that's this word. Everything else, we deny it. If it's against God's word, we deny it. That's what Brother Branham said, that Abraham done that, and we're Abraham's seed. Although, if he slays us, he'll raise us up again, you see. He let them walk right up to the edge of this great furnace and drop into it before it seemed like he ever paid any attention. You might not have any indication, but the only indication you need is he's put it in your heart. This is the word. I'm going to stay by it. And brother, you don't think God's going to work through that. He will. You just stay by his word. He will come and work through it. Before, and I can testify to that. It might take years, but if you stay by it, he's your only option. He's the only thing that matters to you. You let him know, Lord, I done burned all the other bridges. The only bridge I got is you, and it's the only one I want. And I'm going to stay right here. That's all. I guarantee you don't even realize that if you come to that, he done that. You couldn't work that up on your own. God done that. We talk about inspiration sometimes. We think we have to be inspired to do this great thing and inspired to do that great thing. But let me tell you something, brother and sister. If you're living a Christian life and God is doing it in you, you will have already been inspired.
Amen.
You have already got the word living in you, because that's the only way it's pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you're doing that, if you're living that life for him like that, it's because he's doing it in you. And every promise of God is exactly the same way. Every one, the ones for this day, the ones that you might need in your life anytime. He stands there with you all the time. He come to bring you out of. He come to bring you out of that chaos. But we're born into chaos. We're born into indecision all day long, indecision all your life. And it gets worse and worse as you get older and older. You think you know more and more. You think you're wiser and wiser. All you got is more indecision. Until you turn to the Lord, that's it. You turn to the Lord and it's all over. So, I'm sorry I'm getting emotional, but this one's been burning all day. So, every little bit all day long, I've been getting shaky and jittery and stuff. But I just love him, you know, and I just want to talk about him. Because, you know, for a long time, you'll cry. And look, if he's pulling you, and Brother Bram said a birth is nasty, it's messy. He said it's messy. There's no way for it not to be messy. And so it's messy. But then when that happens, then once you got that birth, then you look around and you look at your brother and sister different. Then you say, you know, how can I help? Looks like they're a little weak. Looks like this. I could help them do you know, something. You know, Lord, show me. Then he's done the work in you. Then eternal life is in you. Then it's about your brothers and sisters. Bro, I cannot wait one day when this earth is only full of his children. Brother Ram said it won't be a civilization that's ran by greed. It'll be a civilization that's ran by faith. By faith. Amen. It'll be the mind of God unfolding through his people all the time. Oh, I cannot. You imagine that? Eternal life in everybody? I like to try to sit around and think of it, because the Bible says I can't. There's no way I can think of it. So I can get it good as I can in my head and then say, it's way better than that. And so that's just my juvenileness, but it's just the way I like to look at it. Let me get going here. I'm never going to finish. So he let him drop into the furnace before it seemed like he even paid any attention. Like he wasn't even watching them. But he is always watching. Don't ever forget that. He's always watching you. He's always watching for this. He's always watching for that faith, brother and sister. Amen. He said, let there be light. And 6,000 years it took this Eden to come into existence. And we're taught in the scripture, for one day upon the earth is 1,000 years with God. 1,000 years upon this earth is one day with God. But it took 6,000 years to bring this earth and bring it to an Eden. But you see, it was God, the great master of all intelligence, and he had in his mind what he wanted to do. That's what drove these things that he was doing, because he wanted to do them. Brother Branham said he wanted to do this to give him reason and purpose of being. Just like when the man that built this trailer, when you brethren here that designed this park, how you make it out, it was in your mind, you kept working that vision out. He said that's the way God done it. That's the way God did about the world. He worked. It was in his mind. And if you notice, it came like by evolution. Now, brother and sister, no time is the prophet ever talking about something that does not pertain to you. No matter how many examples he's praying, he's like talking about the earth here. He's talking about the animals. He's talking about it coming and all these other, but he's still talking about you. Brother Ram said that the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you're in that. So he can't be talking and him not talking about you. So don't ever think you can skim or skip some of it. That's what I'm saying. That's the way God did the world. He worked. It was in his mind. And if you notice, it come by evolution, like he was learning more all the time, making something greater and greater. He said, like it, not that he was. See, he was above it all, and he let it evolute up. That, you see, everything he began to bring upon the earth, from botany life to fish and so forth, and come on up into the birds and animals, and then something in his own image. In his own image. How could it be his own image when he's a spirit? He makes a man that's a spirit. And something in his own image, a man that stepped there, see, because it was up to his perfection of what he wanted. That's the way you start, like this trailer. You. It's the way you start. You might lay the frame down and you say, what are you doing? Because you can't tell what somebody's doing when they lay just the frame down. Like you, when you all move the first rocks away from this corner here, what are you doing? Somebody notice you're doing it and not know what you're doing. See, it didn't look like it would, like it is now. Look nothing like it is now, but it was still God doing that. It looks like a little Eden because it was in your mind what to do, and you kept working up. Now, we want to be transformed ourselves by the renewing of our mind. We're transformed by, Brother Bram said a while ago, he said we had the mind of Christ. And having the mind of Christ allows us to be transformed. See, not that we have, not what we have on this earth, what we're going to look for on this earth, but what we are coming to in the world that is to come, transformed by the renewing of our mind. I'm bringing these because I want you to realize how faith works. And because we said that we can't pray too much and that we should pray for revelation, which is faith. And I want you to realize how faith comes. And because, you know, I was reading today, I sent a quote out to everybody, that Brother Branham was up in the woods and he couldn't bring his wife for some reason, and it was their anniversary. And he was up there thanking the Lord for her, and he was thinking about her and praying, and he said all of a sudden he was a young man again. He was a young man. He said he was thinking as a young man. He felt as a young man. All of a sudden he changed, and he said he looked up, and there was Meadie in front of him, and she was young again. And he thought to himself, well, I'm just walking with God. My point is, that was incredible. But it wasn't something, it wasn't some big flash, boom, bang. He's just walking with God, and all of a sudden, he notices young again. He notices Meanie's young again, and then he's back the other way. It's just that much. It's just a hair difference between it being and not being, is what I'm saying. And Brother Branham said a while ago, he said, he let him walk right to the edge of that furnace without even never letting them even know he was noticing them. But he notices us. He's noticing us right now, brother and sister, as we cling to this word with everything that's in us. Now he's talking about that oil deal that they were trying to get him to tell about. And he's like, no, we don't use the gift of God for commercial. He could tell me where it was at, but I don't have any need of it. I wouldn't even have faith enough to ask him, because he knows it's not God's will. See, it's what Brother Bram said. She has the mind of God. She knows his will and she knows what he wants done. He knows that ain't it. See, if I had a need of it, I believe if I ask him, see, if he had a need of it, he's in God's will. Then he says, I believe if I ask him, he'd tell me. But first, see, your motives and objectives has to be right. So how do you know if your motive and objective's right? You have to have reasons for this. So your motive and objective, you have to have reasons for what you're asking for. And what are those reasons? God don't give you these things just because you ask. And you cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to that. So you can't ask in faith unless God wants it done. You see what I'm saying? That's what he says. Unless it's a real objective. God interprets his word. Every time it happens, God interprets his word. He'll give you faith. You'll know right when to do it. I'm going to nail that down several times here as we go. You cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to that. You can't do it. You can't have faith for something unless there's a real objective to that. And what is it? To be the will of God. You can't ask in faith unless it's the will of God. Because what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where does that come from? Amen. It's not intellectual faith. Brother Bram's not talking about that. So there's intellectual faith and then there's God. You cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to that, to be in the will of God. See, if you want to be well, what do you want to be well for? See, if you want to be healed, what's the reason you want to be healed? What are you telling God? What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? See, it's got to be, you got to have a motive and objective. Listen. And they have to be right according to the will of God. Now, I want to ask you a question. Whenever Brother Branham was praying for Meadie, and she had that thing on her side, that went on for a long time. Now, I'm asking you, why couldn't he just go out on his own and tell it to be gone? Why couldn't he? Because the word says right there that God's a healer, and he is a healer. And Brother Branham believed that. We know he believed it. And we know Sister Meadie believed it. So why? Why did it just sit there all that time? You know the story. If you want to go get the story, Brother Branham prayed and prayed and prayed about that. He knew God was a healer. Why didn't he just tell it to be gone? All right. Listen, we have that word in us like Mary had it in her.
Amen.
Spiritually. You gotta have a motive and objective, and they have to be right according to the will of God. And that's when the faith is revealed to you. When that motive and objective is right, that's a channel. When that motive and objective right is in his will, then the faith is revealed to you. And God, by his sovereign grace, places that faith in there, and then it's over.
Amen.
God, by his sovereign grace, places it in there. Now, that's for that healing. But every word that he's put in here that said, we will be this, you will do this, you will not do this, you will not do that, that's already there. The inspiration is already there for that if you want it. It's there for you to take it. Because it's on the table. Healing is on the table. And that's the way you're supposed to accept it. Just like It's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not, they knew God was, could deliver them. They had no, there was nothing in them that doubted that he could deliver them. Because if it was, he would have saw it and he would have never come down there. But he saw these true hearts with absolute confidence in God going to walk to their death no matter what God decided to do. And he was going to decide what to do. And brother and sister, that is how God works always. Brother Rim said he can't work one way one time and one way the next time, another way the next time. Brother Brown said, if you ever have faith, it's by the grace of God that you have faith. Brother Brown said that he predestinated that we would, that he would be standing in the midst of the church at the end. And how would he do that unless he laid it out exactly like he wanted it to be? Not only would he be there standing amongst the church at the end, but all down through the ages, he'd manifest the word in hundreds and thousands of different ways. You know, Brother Bram said the gift is to get yourself out of the way. That's a gift, brother, sister. To get yourself out of the way, that's the gift. I know you think I'm a hard guy. I'm not hard. I'm your brother. And I love you. Flee the wrath that is to come. Go to the cross and cry until your heart is filled with His Spirit. That'll turn your back from everything in the world. And walk godly before Him with your heart burning for Him. Sounds like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to me. Love, not a duty. Christ is not a duty to serve Christ. It's love that serves Christ. It strains you, constrains you, till every pulsation of your life beats with Him. That's when you see sin. That's when you see the things that are wrong. You never see sin in any way but an intellectual way till you're born again. Then you see how nasty and rotten sin is. You see how so far away from God it is. So you see how pure God is, and you see how so far away it is from God. This new creation, and what's the only thing that Brother Ram told us about on the new creation for us? He said the soul. When you're born again, it's a new creation, he said. So this new creation is not the old creation made over. Now, he talked about other things, but what I'm saying is he made it clear. He said when you were born again, it wasn't your spirit that died. It wasn't your flesh that died. It was your soul that died. And you're born again. So it's a new creation. He made it clear. He said you were sparked to life. This new creation is not the old creation made over, or would not be called a new creation. Now, there's something in that statement. Think about it a minute. The new creation is not the old creation made over. He didn't just make that old one again. Or it could not be called a new creation. New means the first time. This is exactly what it says it is, new creation. It is another creation distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing by ways of flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham, and of Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line. But now, out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he's purposed a new creation. So out of that fleshly line there, he brought the Jewish nation through Isaac. But this has not had anything to do with flesh. Now by his spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. Creating sons by his spirit. God the creator creating himself a part of his creation. This is the true revelation of God. This is it. This is the true manifestation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took form through election. And what do we say? Your predestination was what he had hid in the back of his mind and what he brought to pass, unfolded. So that's what he's saying right here. He's talking about the same thing. He's by his Spirit. But he's talking about that in the end here is when he's making these sons. He's creating many sons unto himself. God the Creator creating himself a part of his creation. This is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took form through election. That is why he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself still in the midst of the church as the author of this new creation of God. His sovereign power brought it to pass. That's how, see, because it took form through election, that's the reason and how he could look down and see how it was going to end, because he laid it out to end this way. Knew every move Satan would make. And doesn't the scripture say that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord? So everything Satan ever done, God used it against him for God's children. This sovereign power brought it, his sovereign power brought it to pass. By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. And I'm glad to be a part of that. Amen. Okay, so he's talking about this government being upon your shoulder. And I read about the key of David this last time, but I wanted to get this one piece again. But what does this mean? The answer is this. The phrase government, his shoulder, upon his shoulder, comes from the wedding ceremony of the East. And when the bride has been committed to the groom, she takes off his veil, her veil, and places it over the groom's shoulders, signifying that not only is she under his dominion. This is happening at the wedding. The wedding takes place at the end, right? The groom takes off her veil, places it over the groom's. He takes her veil off, places it over the shoulder, signifying that not only is she under his dominion, that she has transferred her rights, that he is the head. She's given him her rights. But also that he bears the responsibility and the care, and that he and he alone and no one else, no other man, no other power has any right and responsibility. And that, beloved, is the key of David. And that's how he can come through us. God being sovereign, he foreknew by divine decree exactly who would be in his bride. He chose her. She did not choose him. He called her. She did not come on her own. He died for her. He washed her in his own blood. He paid the price for her. She belongs to him and to him alone. And she is wholly committed to him. Now, hear what that sounds like. It sounds just like what he said at the beginning in that first paragraph or two. She is wholly committed to him, and he accepts that obligation. Brother, she's wholly committed to him. He sees that, and he accepts that obligation. That's what we were just talking about. When you turn yourself over to his word, and you got no other road, his word is it. You burn all the bridges. You've laid down all the cares of this life. You're looking at him. He accepts it. She's wholly committed to him, and he accepts the obligation. He is her head, for Christ is the head of his church. As Sarah, now he's just been the head and type all this time, but not now. Not at this wedding, not when the oneness is coming. And this is how the oneness comes. This is that union that goes on. It's when she gives up her rights. She's wholly committed to him, and he accepts the obligation. He is her head. For Christ is the head of his church. As Sarah called Abraham Lord, even so the bride is happy. She's happy that he is her Lord. She speaks and he obeys, for that is her delight. Amen. That's so amazing. And brother, if you look at that and Satan tries to tell you, well, it isn't your delight, just tell him to get off your back. because you're going to stay right by that word. And God is the one that's going to make that happen. Not you. God's the one makes this happen. Now, this great Gabriel came down in there here with the priest swinging his incense and burning it. Now, he's talking about Zacchaeus and Elizabeth, and they're the ones that were the parents of John, or Zacharias and Elizabeth. Sorry, English, you would not believe that English is my first language and my only language sometimes. Now, this Gabriel come down in here, and the priest swinging his incense and burning it while the people was out praying. He was standing at the altar and looked over on the side of the altar, and there stood great archangel. Now, he's talking about Zacharias looking and seeing him. It frightened the priest. He told him all about his life, this archangel did, and things and what he was going to do, and said, after the days of your administration here, go home to Elizabeth, your wife. She's going to bear a child, and you'll call his name John. Why, look, that priest now said, how can these things be? She's old. Now, I always thought this was interesting, that he said, how can these things be? And it sounds like exactly the same thing Mary said, but he didn't say it the same way Mary said it, because he got in trouble. How can these things be? She's old. See, there's righteous people walking in all the light of the Lord. That's the kind of home that God can get into. Then we were talking about a channel a while ago. Now he's talking about God getting into a home. Now, if you're serving all kinds of parties and beer and everything in your house, God will never visit you there. That's right. But if you got a home that's cleaned up and living for God with prayer, I mean really living, not intellectually living, living for God with prayer and the Bible open and a few tear stains on it, God can visit you. That's right. Because you've opened up a channel that he can come to. You see that? It's the same thing he talked about Job. In fact, we're going to talk about Job here in a second. Because you've opened up a channel by doing this, by living this way, by standing by that word and just praying. And what he said, looking to him, you've opened up a channel for God to work to. And that's how come God come to their house and brought John through Elizabeth. That's because they were praying for a child. Now, when God had answered the prayer of Zacharias and Elizabeth, it like to scared him to death, of course, and he didn't think it could happen. But he said, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and my words shall be fulfilled in their season. And then he came back to the people. He was stricken dumb, and he was going to be dumb until the baby was born. And then, could you imagine having this kind of news to tell and you can't talk? You just got to wave your hands, or maybe he wrote something down. I don't know, but I'm sure he's so excited and he can't talk. But he had to tell him somehow. And he was going to be dumb until the day when the baby was born. And then out comes Zacharias and the people, and he beckoned to the people. And they seen he had seen a vision or something. So he went home, and Sarah and Elizabeth conceived and hid herself for 6 months. She was to be mother. That's what he was talking about. Because how they lived, God could come and do something there. He could come make his word manifest in their life. Same thing with Mary. Brother Bram said that word went around and around for how many years? And until it got into her heart, landed in her heart. Now listen to what he says about Job. There's David, just as inspired as he could be. Now he's going to give some negative first. Talking about inspiration. David, just as inspired as he could be, all the people shouting and glorifying God for a reason that seemed exactly scriptural. But he was the wrong person. So it was scriptural, but it wasn't him that was supposed to do it. That inspiration should have come to Nathan, not David. See, he never He even consulted Nathan. You see what happened? God said he does nothing till he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And Job was his prophet in this day. Now, only thing God had done to Job, what always gave him wisdom and his word and inspiration, he could get no inspiration. So all this time, he'd been able to get inspiration and help people, but now he's on the ash heap and he can't get any inspiration. He's been there and this has been going on for a long time. Now he knowed all his mechanics. He'd had the burnt offering. He had done everything he knowed to do was right. Sounds just like Zacharias and Elizabeth, the way they were living. But he couldn't get a word from God. But the devil couldn't move him. Sounds like the three Hebrew children, don't it? They couldn't get a word from God, but they knew what he could do. And they were going to stay by God. Even though his wife was saying you ought to curse God and die. All his friends were accusing him of being a secret sinner. God, he knew where he stood. There you are. Now, there you are when you're prayed for. You don't have to run back through a line or go let somebody else pray for you. When you know you've done exactly what God told you to do. See, when you know something, you got confidence in what you've done. And you know it's the truth. See, then wait for that channel of inspiration to open to you. Don't miss that. You wait for that channel of inspiration to open to you. And now I'm healed. When it drops in there, then it's all over. But you just stay there until that happens. You don't have to worry about nothing. Just abide by it. That's the channel. See, it's the same channel where you could come in the home with Elizabeth and Zacharias. It's the same channel. It's the same channel that we talked about in the other places. Now I'm healed. When it drops in there, then it's all over. Oh, you don't need no prayer lines, nothing else. It's over. It's been revealed to you. Now, it was revealed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that God could deliver them. They knew he was able. And they knew where they stood. I remember one time Brother Abraham talked about but when they was getting ready to march down to the furnace, that they was asking one another, "Hey, Shadrach, are you all prayed up?" And he said, I'm ready. You know, each one of them is prayed up. They're ready to go. And so they had it all out of the way, brother. They were standing on the word. And if it was time to go, it was time to go. And that's how you come to God in his word for any promise in it. Wait for that channel of inspiration to open to you. Brother Bram said that if you're going to have faith, it's by the grace of God placed in you. And he's saying exactly the same thing right here. Wait for that channel of inspiration to open to you. Now I'm healed. When it drops in there, then it's over. Oh, you don't need no prayer lines, nothing else. It's over. It's been revealed to you. Just like the old prophet at the coming of the Lord Jesus. When we find it was revealed to him, the old sage, that he would not see death until he seen the Lord's Christ. That wasn't written in the Bible anywhere. But he got, the Lord inspired him to believe that. And that was just as real to him as him getting up and breathing and walking around every day. That was the truth to him. And he believed that and he waited for it. Not only did he believe it and wait for it, but look what happened. And the people thought it was crazy. The old man lost his mind. But he still believed it. Nothing could shake him from it. And if God puts something in your heart, nothing's going to shake you from it. He knew God had revealed it to him. The Bible said it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. And so Simeon, coming into the temple at that moment, walked over and give praise to God. So not only did he know it was coming, but when he walked into the temple, he knew which one it was. Brother, that thrills my heart to think about that. You don't have to wonder, oh, did he give it to me? Did I get the inspiration? You don't have to wonder. The bride, it says, the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet. She won't have to wonder if she's got thus saith the Lord. Simeon come into the temple at that moment, walked over, gave praise to God and said, "Let thy servant depart in peace." And when he picked up the baby, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." See, he knowed. That's so many spiritual types in that. Him seeing that. See, he knowed he was going to see it. And he did. And no matter how many babies he visited each day, he knew God had revealed to him that he was going to see the Christ before he died. And Simeon believed that. And when it's revealed to you that you yourself have received God's promise, it's not just the promise in the Bible that you've read and you agree with, but you have received that promise. He decided to make that promise living in you. The inspiration, you being Christians, it struck you. You don't need a prayer line. The only thing you need is an open heart when all the mechanics are ready. That's all you need. And let the inspiration drop in. Nothing can change your mind. You got it. Outside of that, it won't do no good. All right, so one last quote here. What he said about the token here I thought was particularly good. And then we'll close. Sorry, I've held y'all over some tonight. The token is the word identified in you. So how does he identify his word in you? Brother Rem said, it's when your testimony matches your works. You testify you have this faith, and your works, they prove it. The token is the word identified in you, living itself out. It's the word living itself out in you. Not you doing it. It's the word living itself out in you. That's God being his own interpreter. I said this earlier, so I told you I was going to read it to you, so I'm doing that. You don't have to say, well, now you interpret my tongue. That ain't it. He interprets your life.
Amen.
By the word. Because where did you come from? If you're eternal, you come from his mind. It's his word to manifest. It's his word to interpret. When he takes your word, what you are, and identify his word through there, there don't need any interpretation. You don't have to do it, brother, sister. You just stand there, the channel open. You've totally committed to God. It's already there. He does his own interpretation, and we have these promises for the day. Isn't that good?
Amen.
He does his own interpretation, and we got all these promises, brother, that he can interpret through, or sister, you can, brother, he can interpret them through us. If Jesus don't come for 10,000 years, you got the token. You got God identifying himself alive in you. He has still got to honor it. No matter how many things change and whatever more, he's got to honor that token. He said he would. All right? He expects us now to display this token over our God-given faith. Our God-given faith. To every unbelieving cult in the nation and in the world, he expects this from us. He's doing those things, and he expects us to put it on display. And that believes this, that signs and wonders don't follow the believers. And be true to this token, and it shows that the fare has been paid, and we've been accepted for the resurrection, having that token life inside of us. Amen. And so I don't know if I can say anything else. I done said it all, but I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did, because I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it this morning at 3 a.m. and then, because I was pulling some of those in my head, and then after I got a lunch break today, I was working on it then. And so I am so thankful that I'm a part of this message.
Amen.
So thankful that that word struck me like it struck that little woman one day and wouldn't turn me loose till it done the work it was going to do. And it's not finished, not till we, Brother Ram, Paul said that to live is Christ and to die is gain. So as long as we're living, it's going on.